Thank you, sirs. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. As your word comes forth, Lord, we trust in you that you are a strengthener. Lord, do that which only you can do. Lord, turn our lives around. Lord, all that we would test and see that the Lord is good and be able to testify that indeed we have tasted, we have seen, and indeed our lives are testimonies of that which comes from you. Glory be to you, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd already prepared something else I was going to speak about, but as soon as I step in, the Lord just, you know the way God does his things. And he said, no, it has to be this. Hallelujah. Ours is just to obey. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight I'll be speaking briefly on the messy middle. The messy middle. Messy. When something is messy. M-E-S-S-Y, right? Messy. Not the footballer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The messy middle. And our text is taken from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. I pray with great faith for you because I'm fully convinced that the one who began this gracious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That he who began a good work in you is able to complete it and bring it to fruition. Hallelujah. And bring it to completion. Amen. Until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maturing you. He will continue the process of maturing you until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Until Christ is revealed fully in us. Amen. Hallelujah. The messy middle. Several times in life, we have heard, encountered, or we have read about people who, it's very obvious that in their lives, they have God's call, they have given their lives to Christ. It's very clear that they know God, they follow God, they love God, they have a heart for Christ. But somewhere in their life, there's just that middle, that point. There's that messy point. There's that point of encounter where things just turn so bad. And call it whatever you want. Some would say it's a time of test. It's a time of trial for their life. It's a time where they need to know. Where it's a time that helps them to hold on to that which they heard from the start. There's this song that says, never doubt in the dark what you heard in the light. Hallelujah. Never doubt in the dark what you heard in the light. So what God has told you, what God has said in his word, you come to a point where, you know, just like Paul, at a point he was in prison for doing God's work. He was in prison. And you know, there's the possibility of anyone in that situation to say, after all, I was doing the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's just that messy point. There's just that messy point. Amen. It's my prayer that when we go through the fire, we will hold on to Christ's word still. Amen. It was from Kennelly. We really sang that song. It says, if you catch hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Because the end, that which is God's plan will speak at the end. It will not cease. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, in Daniel, I will just mention about a few people that had a messy encounter, that had a bad encounter. Hallelujah. Okay, Daniel chapter 6. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 6. If you're here and you're going through a tough time, I hear strongly in my spirit that this too shall pass. Amen. This too shall pass. And God will be glorified. Amen. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16, it says, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. I'm reading from the New King James. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Hallelujah. Have you been in a situation where someone who doesn't even know God is the one now praying for you? Say, Daniel, your God will deliver you. Amen. Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his signet ring and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Hallelujah. Let's go to 28, same chapter, verse 28. 28, it says, okay, 27, let's take it for 27. Trying to get somewhere. Okay. We read 16, right? Okay. Let's see verse 20. And when he came to the den, that's the king, the next element, when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, as your God, verse 20, as your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Remember what he said in 16. He said, your God whom you serve continually will deliver you. Now he's asking in the morning. Why is he asking? Because everyone knows what happens to anyone who is thrown into the lion's den. He says, is he able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad. He was a good man. He was a good king. The king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Hallelujah. You know, if Daniel had fears that lion, the type I've seen in my radar, or the type I've seen in the zoo, or the type I've heard of, the type I've watched in Nacho Wild, only that fear will kill him. Someone said, I think I was watching one of those documentaries, and said, why people always run from the lion, and why the lion finds it so easy to, prey on every other person, on people easily, is because He senses fear even from a distance. He will just sense that fear in you. And once, you know, what happens when you see, imagine, I remember we went to Kenya once and we went to this park and they've not told us anything. They said we're going to see animals. And then we're in the car and we got to this point where they said we can come down. And we tried to come down. As we're coming down, next thing I saw was a lion. I remember one pastor in front of us. The guy just quickly jumped inside the bus. But I said, pastor, he said, this is not Daniel's. This is not the lion's den. Hallelujah. You know, the sight of the lion alone is so intimidating. The lion was so big. I said, this is not the one I've seen on TV. This is life. The lion is so big. You need to see the bones and as it was walking. It's so big. I then understood how people get intimidated and how fear grips people. And it's that fear. Once he senses that fear, and it's coming, you will run. You will run. So, where did we stop? And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. From up, before they could even land, the lion had devoured them. So you can imagine that fierce, that sight before they landed. Meanwhile, somebody was there in the den till dawn with those same lions. I think it was Pastor Muyiwa that went with children. Once they went to a place where they were carrying snakes and putting on them. I said, okay. Praise the Lord. The Bible says you shall tread upon snakes and scorpions. Be treading. Yes, so hallelujah. You see, it's easy to quote the scriptures. But when we come face to face, when we get to that point where it's our mercy point. According to Setman, he said, when things happen to you, those things you have heard, it's like when you press paste. He said, when you come face to face with situations, those things, they are coming as trials to press what's on your inside, to see what you see. Hallelujah. Amen. And like we read when Mrs. Sajiri was praying from the book of Colossians, he said, we have received the spirit of boldness, the spirit of love, sound mind, the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. So we are not of them who speak dirty languages. Something just happened, you just say, hey, Moku. Or something just happened, you say, hey, Yekba. No. No. Because what you are loaded with on the inside will come out. Praise the Lord. Daniel held his ground. Despite the ugly situation, there was a plot against him. But even in that, he didn't say, God, it's your work I'm doing. You needed to. Have you heard some people when they cry? It's like, God, you just say, I know Kuku send you again, or I know Vun. You know, because they would just so make it look like they're turning it on God. Say, God, but it's your work I'm doing. And so what? Even Jesus went through things. Do you know what it means? He was in the garden. Let me tell you, those people, they only heard about things, they only heard things about him from a distance. So I'll say they've not really had a close contact with Christ. I'll tell you why. Judas said to them, he said, the one that I kiss is the one. So meaning that there's a tendency that they all look alike in their eyes. They can't even identify him. So he took the betrayer to go and show those kind of people that would just come and say, hey, and just hail you. And it's not hail. They are selling you. That's what Judas did. The one that I kiss, that's the one. So he's okay, hey, master, hey, I've not seen you for a while. Oh, long time, I just kissed him. I've missed you. Don't we have them? When people check on you, not because they really want to check on you, not because they care, not because they missed you, but just because they want to see What's the update? Has he died? Has she died? But let me tell you, the Bible says, they that know their God shall walk strong and they will do exploit. Even in that messy situation, God will speak on your behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see another situation. This happened in Genesis, the book of Genesis. Genesis 41. Okay, let's do Genesis 39. Everything he allowed him, he said, you are the head, you can rule over everything. Give him charge. The only thing, do you know that even up to, okay, let me just read it, of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had. Doesn't know how many fridges there, how many ACs are there, how many cars are there. He doesn't need to know, because Joseph was there are people that will be in your life that you will experience blessing. There are people who will be in your life and you're like, this one self, which one be this one on again? May God help us in Jesus' name. So Joseph's presence was a great blessing, was a huge blessing in the house of Potiphar. But guess what? Every time God showcases your strength and your gifts to the point that it's a blessing around your environment, you will be tried. There will be messy moments. Hallelujah. But in those messy moments, in those trials, don't give up. Hold on to his word. Hold on to God. Never give up. Because at the end, God's word will prove itself strong. Hallelujah. Wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no other greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Hallelujah. We've seen all sorts. People will come with all manner of enticing things. I remember I've shared the testimony before, how a woman locked me up somewhere in Lagos here and said, today, not the day. You see, except you have God's fear, except you really love God and you have God's fear, in moments like that, it's very, very tough. She brought landed documents out. She did, and at the end of the day, she brought out a gun. Yes, a gun. The husband's gone. But you see, Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, he said, goodness against God. He wasn't even looking at his master, even despite how nice the master has been. He said, against God. Each time you are pressed, you are at that moment where you are tempted to sin or do something that is wrong in the sight of, think about God, think about his love, think about all that he has done, and you'll find yourself gain strength to overcome that situation. Amen. Hallelujah. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day. So it's not once. Consistently, fine guy. I like this, your, is your shirt to Lacoste? Ah, fine guy, Versace. Ah, he was hailing him every time. In the whole of this area, you are the most handsome. Do you know? So you can imagine when people start, they come with all manner of enticing things. Fine guy. Jeep go fit you. You know, those things will be sinking, will be entering the head. Jeep go fit you. Have you been to Lekki before? Have you been to a Chinese restaurant before? You know, those kind of things. And the head will be swelling and swelling and swelling. It's very simple. All those people that you see, that's where it's coming from. All those people that you see that are driving, cruising, beautiful cars, how do you think they get it? You think they work for it? They are sugar mummies. Don't worry, let me just be the sugar in your life. May God help us in Jesus' name. Enticing words. Enticing words. I know that the devil will definitely come with enticing words and things that will just make you want to loosen up and rest and just fall for whatever is throwing at us. But let's always see the cross. Let's always see the love with which he gave his life. He was righteous. He became sin so that we'll become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When we see that and place that always before us, any other thing will be nothing. Hallelujah. See what the woman did. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them. If you read from up down, from before where we started reading, you will see that it says that those men were not around. So she was a master planner. She had her crafts well intact. Probably she had sent them on errands so that she can carry out her act. But upon failing, she called them out to have false witnesses. She called them and she started telling them and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice." I remember there was a case once in court where someone was accused, and there's just no way to prove this guy's innocence. But you see, just like where I quoted before, he said, "They that know their God, they will do exploit." This guy, knowing fully well, he had no evidence, he had nothing to prove his innocence. He was just praying. He was just praying. See, there's nothing as beautiful as when you keep your hands clean, because that's what we speak. And so he was praying. He kept praying in the spirit. He kept praying. And he was just, he was just praying and standing on God's word and telling God, "God, you are all present and you saw what happened. Come to my defense." Guess what happened? At the point, the lady became very restless, like they were flogging her. She became so restless. She came back and confessed openly, damning the consequences, whatever it was going to be. She came back and confessed openly how she had accused this guy forcefully or wrongly. Amen. Amen. They that know their God, it doesn't matter how messy the situation is, God will prove himself strong. Hallelujah. It was a messy time for Joseph. Very messy. Very messy. Very bad. Because here was a guy who said, "No, I will not sin." And even at that, he was accused. I remember when that woman brought out the gun. You see, it's easy when you're reading it like this. When it happens to you, you know that there's difference between six and half a dozen. So she brought out a gun, and I was literally jittering. I was shaking, but I was praying under my breath. Until, because she had showed me a picture on the wall. Her husband was a military man. Showed me the picture. So what she was trying to say, that even if I kill you, nothing will happen. I can just shout and say you want to rob me or whatever. I know this was trouble. I was just praying. Documents on one hand, persuading me. Gone on another hand, in case I refuse. So she went inside the room, dropped the gun and came back and said, "Useless boy, God save you today." Like she just had, in a flip moment, she just had a change of mind. And next thing that happened was, she just came with the key, opened the door and said, "Get out, useless boy." I said, "Yes, I'm very useless." And I, you know that kind of thing, very useless to you. And I ran out. Ran out, got to the estate gate and not look back. So I got to the office. Very excited. I wanted to share my story. And lo and behold, before I got to the office, waiting for me was a sack later. And that's what happened to Joseph. You can imagine that when Potiphar came, he called Joseph. And Joseph would think, this year is an opportunity to tell my master what Madam wanted to do to me. Madam wanted to abuse me. And the next thing that happened, the man gave order. Said, throw him in prison. Hallelujah. Even in prison, he prospered. So when I got to the office, was a sack later waiting for me. I was not only sacked, alongside that job was my accommodation. I was sent out back in. They were owing me salaries for 3 months. Lost accommodation as well. But guess what? In a matter of, I think that was when I was doing my program at Wolfby, Word of Faith. Yes, that was when I started Word of Faith Bible School. As soon as, around within a period of 3 months, less than that, because that program was for 6 weeks. Before you knew it, a job came. That type you call a dream job. And I got this job in the bank. The job itself was a testimony on its own. I was sharing with someone last week, Thursday, when I was praying with the person. Went for interview. Imagine interview. And first, at that interview, I saw a question paper. You know those kind of question paper? I'm not like Pastor Muyiwa, they know mathematics. And me, maths. Hey! In fact, I made up my mind that my children was no master. So, you know, mathematics. So I saw question. The guy that they asked question with his coat was already sweating. Sweat was coming from his head. And I said, if you need this guy. And I was going to, I said, there's no need to do this interview. I'm going home. As I turned to go back, I saw the mirror. It was the bank where we had this interview is the headquarters on the island. And then as I turned to go back, I saw a mirror. If you see mirror, Shabi, you see yourself. I wasn't seeing myself. I was seeing the mirror. I wasn't seeing myself. What did I see? I was seeing a lion. And then I tried to say, okay. So I summoned courage. I said, okay, I'm not going. And I started speaking. I said, well, this picture only tells me one thing. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so I have to be bold. Bold as a lion. And I went back. As I went back, it was my turn. And the woman said, sit down. I sat down. And she said, what's your name? I called my name. So she was humming something. She was, you know, humming. Then this song was raining. What's the name? Midnight Crew. They just did release that song. Kusobabire. And then she was just trying to sing it, but she wasn't getting it. So as she was singing, she just said, do you know this song I'm singing? I said, yes. And then she said, do you know who sang it? I said, yes, Midnight Crew. That's why when you come, if you say you are in the choir or you are in any department in church, be real. Because whatever it is you do for God will be tested. And then the lady said, you can imagine her asking me, where do you worship? and I mentioned. He said, "You watch, are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Are you in any department in church?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Which department?" And I told her, I said, "Hospitality and choir." And she said, "Okay, choir, you sing?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Who is your mentor?" I said, "Local or foreign?" He said, "Foreign." I said, "Ron Kennelly." Say, "Local." It was their song that was reading that, and I loved the song. I said, "Midnight Crew." And then she said, "Okay, sing that song for me. Interview." Say, "Sing that song for me." And I started singing the song. At that point, I don't even care who did the next table, who did the interview. And I was singing the song. I was bringing my voice low. She said, "Don't mind anybody, sing. Just sing for me." She was just cashing, just enjoying herself because she didn't know the song. And as soon as I sang to the end, she would shout, "Igwe." And then she said, "You have passed my interview. Go to the next set." It's a 3-stage interview. And then I went to the next stage. The next stage was a man who had problem in his house before he came to work. So on his computer, I was already having issues and complaining. And I was already seated waiting for my interview. He was quarreling. He had a fight with his wife. He was already quarreling. So there he was talking. Say women self and their wahala, blah blah blah, no. And he was talking. He said, "What's your name?" I answered. He said, "You see, can you imagine?" So was not judging the report on me. Can you imagine? What can we do? I be man in a man. So you don't see man when you go report to fellow man. What are we going to do for woman that they will be satisfied? I said, "Give them their peace. So when you give them their chance, they will give you your peace." Say, but I just left the house this morning. Why? I said, "She just want to be sure you're okay." He said, "But I don't have time to be writing it. I should be sending text messages and I'm working." I said, "But sometimes they just want those words because men are moved by what they see. Women, they want to hear." I said, "Just tell her, give her." He said, and funny enough, in school, back then in school, I used to have this very big note where I write lyrics, text messages. "Sister Remy, I'm suspecting you." All the people used to come by compound, they used to come and copy text, all those kind of messages you send. So he said, can you help me? I didn't need to carry any book. I have it in my, I just gave him 2 lines. I said, "Send her." And then he sent to the boy, he said, she's responding. He said, "The woman even had already promised her, I'm going to make your favorite meal." He said, the man said, "It's working." He said, "My friend, I'm done with your interview. Go. I've passed second test. Final stage." Everything, that's how things just worked. So Joseph was thrown in prison. Even in the prison, God blessed him. He was put in charge. People have been in prison. I don't know if you've been, I used to do prison evangelism. One of the things I know about prison is that sometimes a function of who is more powerful that you get the leadership, who is the leader in cell. Are you getting me? Who is, if you are strong or as a result of the oldest, if it's not the oldest, if you are the oldest and you are weak, they can pray on you, can bounce on you. But if you are strong, first, they will attack you, fight you. When you are strong, they will be loyal. This Joseph does not look like somebody that is strong. This Joseph that was made head of prison, out of God's grace and favor upon his life. Amen. There are people who carry such marks. They get a job, and in the place of work, we've heard several times where pastor will say he will solve some things in the office that are not even his core jobs. But in that, even long, a bit, after a while, after solving that thing in the office, in church or anywhere, that problem will surface. And because he has attempted it before, he just gets it done easy peasy. Amen. If God can trust you and take you through things. I was telling my wife some days ago when we were going to the farm. I said, part of the reason why God will take you through things or allow you to go through a phase in life is so that when you come across people who are going through such terrible situations, you are not just going to be perplexed. You will be able to stand and take a stand for God in the life of that person and let the person know that this is how things work. This is how to get over this. This is how to overcome. You can be a source of encouragement. You can be a light. You can be a power force to help pull the person from that situation. Why? Because you've been there. Because you've been there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch so many people who set up NGOs. NGOs that combat people, NGOs that combat issues of rape. It's because they had at one time or the other in their lives been raped. Watch people who do other sorts of empowerment and support programs. It's because they have also been in such situations. So when they come face to face with people who are in such situations, they are able to counsel, they are able to guide, they are able to pray, they are able to help people get healing. Hallelujah. For it is Christ working in us, Philippians 2:13, both to will and do of his good pleasures. So even in that messy situation, God was working in the life of Joseph. You may not have seen it yet. You may not have seen it yet. And then you are groaning. You are angry because things are happening. Say, in this family, say, nobody respect me because I never get money, because I never hammer. No. Don't worry. Soon, your light will so shine and all of them will see that, wow, this could only be God. There are things, if God just allow it go the way you want, it will be like magic. But when you allow God's way, hallelujah, they themselves will begin to see what the king said to Daniel. Imagine a king that does not know God as much as Daniel does, trying to preach, trying to pray for Daniel. Now they will come in to say, sister, blessing, this God what you deserve. This one at church, this is God what you deserve. Why? Because they've seen. They've seen. The Bible says, come and test and see that the Lord is good. Only them now will begin to tell you, say, now wow. I don't say God love you like this, so. Hallelujah. Yes. In the book of John also, John chapter 11, Mary and Martha, they lost their brother. So Jesus came. He had been invited. And then he delayed. There was a delay. And then finally when he came, they were groaning. They were complaining. I'll show you something. John 11. John 11, 23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus was even reminding him of his word. She knows because she said, I know that in the last day. I'm not talking of last day. So why did you even call Jesus to come if you know that he will rise on the... Why not wait? Why did you call him? So sometimes some people will tell you, pastor, pray for me. Or sister, this, brother, this, pray with me. I'm trusting God for this. They have just said it. They are trusting God for this. And then you're saying, can we pray? And then they are telling you, yes, we can pray. But it's just that I'm afraid that my stepmother, you want to pray. Why are you bothering about what anybody will do? Yes, I believe God can do it. But you see, there's this wicked boss in my office. If they fear the boss, why you bother want to pray to God? Hallelujah. She was trying to give excuse. Even when Mary got up, because Mary, they've been talking to Mary since she refused to get up, she refused to eat, she refused to do anything. So they were shocked when Martha walked to Mary and told Mary that the master is here. And Mary got up. Everyone in the room got up along. Said, They were even saying, couldn't he, this one, that is opening the eyes of the blind, they do good everywhere. Even this Lazarus, when he's in a house, not their house. So he couldn't have stopped this man that he make it for not die. So you can imagine. I've found out several times that the more messy the situation is, the more God showcases his strength. Hallelujah. Yes, Lazarus died. Lazarus died and was buried. The sister said, Master, no need, because by now, he's stinking already. It was those things Jesus saw that made him to weep. John 11:35, Jesus wept. He wept. upon all what I've told you guys. He wept. Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you will see the hand of God? That was strong in his mouth when he said it. And he said, where have you laid him? Where have you laid him? He was going to call him forth. Yet, Master, no need. By now, he's stinked. I did not ask you how bad, how ugly the situation is. I did not ask you whether maggots are already coming out of his body. I did not ask you how bad the situation is. Where have you laid him? When God gives us a blank check, we must know what to feel. Hallelujah. In Mark 11, 23 and 24, it's written there clearly. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24, it's written there clearly. He said, whosoever, shortly before that, Peter had said to him that, Master, the fig tree which you cursed is dead. And he said, can't you get it? Can't you get it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, whoever says to this messy situation, whoever says to this tree, whoever says to this challenge, whatever it is, if you say to this sickness, if you say to death, I remember it was the later bishop that was called to come and wake somebody. The person was very, very sick, almost dying. As soon as he got there, the person Kukuma died. I was reading in his book and he said, when he saw this, he said, you know, they call you, say, you can't pray for somebody to get healed. And then in your presence, the person Kukuma died. The first thing that will come to your mind, devil is very stupid. The first thing that will come to your mind is, from fry pan to fire. But you see, when the situation is, when it's a grave situation, God is not man and is not moved by those things. Cry, wail, he's not moved by that. Speak the word, stand on the word. He honors his word. He said, I have honored my word above my name. Hallelujah. As powerful as the name. As powerful as the name. He said, there is no name given to men in heaven and on earth that is greater than this name. As powerful as the name. He said, I've honored my word above my name. Hallelujah. So standing on the word is your solution. Standing on the word, you can break through. Standing on the word, you can break limits. They said, no one has ever done it. You can start it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fact that your father is poor doesn't mean that you will be poor. The fact that no one in your family has ever made a record doesn't mean that you will not break record. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. So the only thing standing between you and the answer is your state of mind, whether you doubt or not. If you believe, you get it. If you don't, you don't. If you don't believe, you won't get it. But if you believe and do not entertain doubt in your heart, you will get it. Hallelujah. For we must believe that he can do that which we ask. So we get it. Hallelujah. Amen. Lastly, let's just see Romans chapter 8. As I get ready to close. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 verse 11. It said, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Hallelujah. So I talked about Daniel, about Joseph, about Mary and Martha. Talked about Jesus talking to us that whoever believes. This is about the Holy Spirit now. He says, for if the Spirit, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Hallelujah. One of the things the devil you always use to defeat people, to defeat man, is fear. Is fear. Lack of boldness. So you see someone confronted with a situation, he's already afraid. He's already scared that, hey, what if it turns out? It's so bad that even some, when they stand in front of a lady, men, when they even stand in front of a lady to say, to ask her out, the lady never answered. First, fear has killed them. That what if she says no? I know one brother like that is a very matured adult. So everybody was wondering, why is not only this brother, you know, the only you never marry. Now you don't do best man for more than 11 people in church. They forbid if you marry. So pastor called him one day and was counseling him. Pastor said, what will be your problem, brother? He said, money. He said, no, not be money. What is it? He said, he cannot stand a woman saying no. Hallelujah. And it's worrying so many people. Say, what if I pray and the person not well? What if I pray and answer not come? How is that your business? The order you were given in Mark 11, 23. He said, only believe and give the command. He not tell you, say, make you go, they check whether I go or not go. Don't go and do the one that will pass you. Do the one you are commanded to do. Mine is just to pray and pray in faith and believe, and with all boldness I pray it and that's it. Forget about it. God will give the answer. Hallelujah. See, faith will walk. Faith will walk. Even with doubt in your head, if you don't speak it and let it do, it will work. Your faith will come to work. Hallelujah. Haven't you seen? I've seen some unbelievers say, I don't know God. I know that they will say some things and they will have what they say. Hallelujah. Sometimes they brag with it. You've not seen unbelievers that are bragging with their unbelief. Say, even me, that I was in the boat with a guy that always say, no, the only sin I commit is that I drink and I do this and I do that. Say, I know that God will not. I say, God will not say, will not answer you because of that. Hallelujah. So he said, if the Spirit of He that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same Spirit will quicken. Will quicken. Hallelujah. He will give life. We also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Hallelujah. One of the things I've encountered, I've experienced is that even when I've been in exam, apart from this interview, I've been in exams where I'm confronted with questions that I'm not too good with. But this comes to play. Hallelujah. Give life to your mortal bodies. Normally, your mortal body is weak. It's subject to sickness, disease, and all the things that happens to natural body. He said, but that same Spirit will give life to your mortal bodies. I had pain. Yeah, it was so bad. It was bad. At the point, the day I was describing, I was telling my wife, I was using my hand to hit the wall. I said, it's gone because I prayed. Hallelujah. He said, that same Spirit will give life to your mortal bodies. Whatever the situation around you, your pocket, your bank account is sick. That same Spirit will give life to your pocket. Amen. Fine, you will walk with your hand, but you will see blessings. Hallelujah. I was speaking to someone some days ago. I said, this work you're doing right now, do it very well, because the next one that will follow will daze you. Yesterday was testifying. He had finished that work and they've really given him a new one. A new one. It's a bigger contract. So, yes, it works for finances. It works for health. It works for everything. I've seen situations where the car cannot start and then you speak and it just obeys. Everything obeys God's command. use it to your advantage. Hallelujah. That same spirit can give life to any dead situation around you. No one is allowed to be sick around you. No one is allowed to die around you. No situation that's supposed to bring glory to God is allowed to be on the negative around you, because if you stand on this word, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, if you stand on this word, it will give you the very answer it's meant to give, because it's an order according to God's word. Amen. Amen. I don't know what the situation is around you, but if you would speak with faith, every messy situation will be changed, will be turned around in your favor. Shall we bow down our heads tonight and begin to pray? And begin to pray. Talk to Him. Lord, turn around every messy situation. Turn around every messy situation around me. Every bad situation, every ugly situation, every ugly event around me. Turn it around in my favor. Turn it around for good. Turn it around for good. Turn it around for good. Men may have said things to cast me down, but Lord, turn it around for my good. They said I may never do well. Lord, turn it around for good. They said I cannot be promoted. Lord, daze them with a shocking news of my promotion. Lord, do something new. Lord, turn things around for my good. Lord, turn every messy situation around for my good. They've asked me questions. What am I waiting for? Others are promoted. Others are getting married. Lord, answer for me. Turn every messy situation around me for your glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to you, Lord. For in Jesus' name I pray.